Tonight's study is going to be 168. And so we're going to finish up with Titus 1. We had we left off last week with one verse left to go. And Titus 1, and this was the dealing with the contentious Cretans, and from 10 through 16. And so we got down to the very last one, and then we'll probably pick up and do a couple in chapter 2 and go from there. And we're going to do it like we always do. We're going to read it out of the King James Version. I'm going to read my notes, and then we'll read Jack's situation out of the Koine Greek, and then look at his notes, and then read the scripture that goes with it. And we had quite a little bit of scripture for these three verses of scripture, but it doesn't seem like they're that long, but they Jack loaded us up pretty good with on the last verse of Titus 1. Now I'll go ahead and read it, and this will be to give Titus what he needs to know about these Cretans. And he's getting quite a little lesson in them and how they do things, and they even have some of their own prophets, which, and they really don't believe very much anyway. So that, you know, that's a situation that has been in scripture, especially since Christ came on the scene as a man. And, there's lots of, quite a lot of scripture that goes along with that too. So we'll get involved here. Verse 16, chapter 1, Titus. Page 1817, if you have a companion Bible. And it says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. So that's not a testimony that I don't think anyone would really like to have if they sat there and thought about God and his word and how he deals with all these things, to have any wonder about what their hope is or how they're going to wind up or end up. And so in looking at these things, I made a pretty good little size note here, and I'll go ahead and read it. And it starts off with they, or the Christians, profess. And that word is homologio, and it means to falsify oneself, that they know God. And to know God would be the word in the Greek iota, and that is to know intuitively, without effort to understand. It's something that they would kindly need to know or have some thoughts of it, but just don't pay it any attention. They just really kind of slough it off. And They could know it without effort to understand, because the Holy Spirit would give it to them if they would be in the right mind and in the right matter concerning God's Word and what they need to know. But to know intuitively without effort to understand. And I thought about that a little bit, but isn't that what we would call wishful thinking? You know, they have the ability, they have a mind to see, to hear, and to understand, and have all their senses, but they yet, you know, they just rather go about things in a kind of a haphazard way. It says, but in works, they deny him, being abominable. And abominable is the noun of all this. And it means to be fully disobedient. Completely. Completely disobedient. And unto every good works, reprobate. And that one is adokamos. The rebate is adokamos. And as they rejected God, and also he in turn rejected them, for not believing in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. And so that's where we find them. That's where Paul is leaving him with Titus. So if and when he gets involved with these people in a group where he's teaching or giving the word or whatever, he's going to have to put up with all this stuff, because they're just full of it. Wherever they go and whatever they do, it's just not something that they really think is that important. But truly it is. I want to go, from there. I want to go to Matthew 24, and there's a pretty good little bit of reading there that we need to look at. Let's go ahead and do Jack's thing first. I'm about to get ahead of myself again. Verse 16, it says, from the Koine Greek, God they confess to know, in the but works deny. Abominable. Being and disobedient. And toward all works good is disapproved. Down to the more modern English. They confess to know God, but in works deny, being abominable and disobedient, and toward all good works disapproved. And here's Jack's notes. He says, these are those always who makes false professions. Reasons for making false professions are legion. Sometimes the groundless profession is made with wishful thinking, but the works deny the profession. Those who are in this apostatizing mode will not be able to maintain good works for his glory. Their good works are disapproved by God himself. Why? Because they're phony. Because the relationship with the head, Christ, is not there. It just isn't there. So this was Jack's view of these Christians also. And I thought it was pretty well written in that situation. But we want to go, as I started saying, Matthew 24. And we're going to read from verse 4 to 15. Because in Matthew 24, the way it's laid out, is Christ speaking. We'll start 24:4, and it's on page 1364 if you have a companion Bible. And it says this, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Okay, verse 7. "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel, the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." And there's a parentheses there, and I couldn't find the first part of it. Now, I don't know how far back I had to go to get it, but I just didn't find it when I went back maybe a half a chapter back before that. So, if you want to go back and find where the other parentheses started there, I don't know. I couldn't find it. Okay, that was Matthew 24. Okay, two places in Romans that we need to look at. Romans. Let's turn to Romans 1. Romans 1. Okay. In Romans 1, we're going to look at verse 28 through chapter 2 and verse 2. And that's on page 1665. Okay. Verse 28. And it says this, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, that's the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And boy, there is a long list in that little part of the scripture there. Okay. Now, let's go to Romans 10 while we're here. In Romans 10, we're going to look at 9 and 10. And we've looked at it before, even in this study, because I've got my arrows here to show that we had gone over this during the wisdom study. And it says, and that's on page 1682, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, so that's the ones that Jack wanted us to look at in Romans. Now, let's go from there to 1 Corinthians 9. First Corinthians 9:27. Okay. Now this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians here in 1 Corinthians. He says, but I keep under my body. He's talking about his self-control. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that if by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway or rejected. So that was 1 Corinthians 9:27. Only one verse of scripture in there, and that was on 17:11, I didn't tell you. And then I want to go from there to 1 Timothy 6. It hasn't been too long since we've been in 1 Timothy 6. First Timothy 6:11-14. That's on page 1807. Okay. It says here, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Talking about the love of money. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quicketh all things before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Christ Jesus. Okay. So that was 1 Timothy 6. Now we're going to go to 2 Timothy. And Jack didn't leave any stones unturned much in this one. We're going to look at 2 Timothy 3, 8 and 9. Well, let's just start off with 7, 8, and 9. He's talking about Jannes and Jambres here. Ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's how a lot of people are. They're always looking for something, but they never really come to what is really important. Verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. I don't know what happened there. But whatever it was a sorrowful thing, because these guys were known as magicians. And they used all these things to get people to believe in other things other than Christ. Okay, that was 2 Timothy. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 11. We're going to read 11 through 13. And that's on page 1840 if you've got a companion Bible. And it says this, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable, or too much, too many to count. Verse 13. And he said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but have seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
So, amazing how people say today, he's going to die and go right on to heaven.
Yeah.
But it plainly says that all these on the Hall of Fame of Faith, they died having not received their promise.
Not received their promise. Yeah. They're waiting on Christ to come back and raise them up to give them their promise.
Can't give a dead man his promise.
No. Okay. And I thought these verses of scriptures here was real important, because we're going to look at something else in just a minute that really shadows this same thing here. Okay. James, Book of James. James 2:17-25. That's a pretty good one. Okay. And it says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seeing thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.
Amen.
Okay. Well, we're about gone to the end of the book, but not quite. Turn with me to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, you can't get much further than that. I think 22 is,
yep,
is it, but Revelation 21. Let's see, we're going to read 22-27. Jack laid a bunch of it on us here. And that's on page 19:13. Chapter 21, verse 22-27. And it says this, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. So the gates are not going to be shut, but they're going to be guarded, I think. And they shall bring their glory and honor of this nation into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So all that we went through, all that was done and said to show that the scripture speaks of itself over and over and over concerning God's will and his way of doing things.
Amen.
And so we read, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 places that the scripture pointed out pretty plainly that it if you don't have the love of God to go along with the works, that you're not complete. You're just not complete. That's the way God set up those that He chose to be His inheritance. Okay. So that completes chapter 1 of Titus. We'll get into chapter 2 and then chapter 2 it says, but speak thou. And this is Paul is speaking to Titus here, and Titus is somewhat older than Timothy. But nevertheless, the two kind of seem to be jockeying in place for their rightful position in the plan and purpose of God concerning this mystery truth. Okay? It says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So, to Titus here, Paul boils it down to one thing, basically, to one thing. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Okay. I'll read you my notes. And verses 1 through 10 deals with the walks and the works. And Titus as the instructor, because Titus is getting his marching orders from Paul here. Speak, but speak. And that's Appendices 121-7. And that means to talk, to use the voice. Say the things which become sound doctrine of the teaching. Titus is the person to proclaim and to maintain. To proclaim and to maintain a testimony in this place. And I ask myself, why? Well, I know why, but do we ever think about it? And Paul is telling Titus, I think, that a true foundation must be laid here, wherever you are, and whatever you're saying, and whatever you're teaching. Sound doctrine must be built on a true foundation. Just like you would go out and you would lay a foundation to build your house. If the foundation is not solid, the house is not going to stand. Sooner or later, Mother Nature will take it back. Okay. I'm going to read what Jack said about it. In the Koine Greek, pretty plain and simple, you but speak the things, stand out the sound teaching. But you speak that which becomes sound teaching. By you, or but you, with emphasis, speak the right doctrine. You speak the truth, Titus. In the midst of prevaricators and evil imaginators is starkly charged to speak righteously. He is the only chance for the Christians around him. If there be any truth for them to contemplate, Titus has to consider that he is the one who will have to proclaim it and maintain the testimony of his Lord. And I kind of like to look at this. There's some people that was on television a few years ago, and one of them was the cable guy. And he had a little saying on his show, "Get her done." And so this is Paul telling Titus, "Son, if they're going to have any chance to know the Lord, you got to get her done." I hate to bring it up, but sometimes these little things comes up in my mind that says, you know, that kind of fits.
Pretty good analogy.
It might, you know, it might not, but somehow it kind of just falls in place there a little bit. So, get her done. And there's about four or five places here that we need to look at too. And it seems like now we can't get away from Matthew. So let's go back. We went to Matthew 24 before, but now we need to go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, Matthew 28:16-20. It said, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the world, end of the world." Amen. And so that ended the book of Matthew. So he appointed them a time to come and see him. They went. And that's what he told them. Okay. I want to go back, because I got it out of sequence a little bit. I want to go back to Proverbs 25. And I usually don't do this, but I was in a hurry. And 25, I'm going to look at 11 through 13. That's on page 898. Let's look and see what it says. "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and a picture of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the coal of snow in the time of harvest, so is the faithful messenger to them that sent him. For he refreshes the soul of his master. So, here we have timely things, it says there, fitly spoken. A word fitly spoken is a timely thing. Or as we say, on the spur of a moment. Because sometimes, and Paul was big on this thing as he taught and as he went along and got involved in many things that seemed to be a very bad discomfort to him. His idea and his understanding of God, of the Holy Spirit, works this way. You know, you don't have to give you don't have to give a speech or have a speech to get yourself out of trouble. Let the Holy Spirit do it. He says, don't think about what you're going to say. Let the Spirit lead, guide, and direct you. So that's fitting or fitly words that are spoken. If it's done as to what God tells you to say, it is always right. It's never wrong. If you're heeding God's word through the Spirit.
Amen.
Okay. So I didn't want to leave that one out either. So, let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John 8, let's see where we want to look at there. We're going to read 24 through 30. That's on 15:38. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they to him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto him, Even the same that I say unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father had not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words, and many believed on him. So he made a believer out of quite a few of those, evidently, that began to understand. Yeah, he's the one. Okay, Ephesians 4. Go back to Ephesians 4. Let me get on the right page here. I'm sooner or later going to have to. Boy, my pages have gotten stuck together.
But if you get them fat fingers, that don't help any either.
But if you don't believe they've been used, just look at the pages. Well, I don't know if I'm going to get to it or not. Maybe so.
You sure that one's put together?
No, I guess not. Ephesians 4:17. Well, I'll have to pass that on that one. Okay. Well, then I needed to look at Ephesians 5:15-19. Let's start at 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead.
Hey, Pop, are you in Ephesians 5 or 2 Corinthians 5?
I'm in 2 Corinthians. Where did I get away from that? Here we go. Ephesians 5:15-19. Yeah. Okay, here we are. Seeing that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but wise, redeeming the time, because the days of evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I guess I was in Corinthians a while ago. Okay, let's go back to Ephesians 4, since we're there, and we're going to go to from 17 through 21. This I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. As the truth is in Jesus. That was what I was trying. I would guess I was in Corinthians a while ago trying to get that page apart. Okay, I haven't got much time left, but I'll just go ahead and read the notes there in verse 2 anyway. In verse 2 it says, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. And when I read that, it started making my notes. And it says, exhort that the aged man, telling it as God knows it in Luke 1:18. And Luke 1:18 was in the notes on this. But I said, in Luke 18, Zechariah speaking with the angel concerning John the Baptist said he was an old man, too late for this event. It seems like Zacharias was kind of like Abram was. He's getting on up here. And also, his wife was of the same age also. Okay. Think about this, though. On the other hand, when Mary came into the picture, the mother of Jesus Christ, she thought it was too soon because she had not had a man.
Yeah.
And I thought that was one of the best notes I'd seen in a long time in Scripture. That one deemed himself to be an old man, too old. But see, Zacharias paid for that.
Yep.
And he paid for it because he lost his speech for a period of time.
He'll be dumb till the child gets here.
Yeah. But you see, once John the Baptist came and he was named that, then Zechariah got his voice back. But you see, he had to pay the price for that for a while, for the 9 months that he had to write it down. He couldn't do anything with it. And it was such a good note, I couldn't pass it up again. And on the other hand, Mary of Jesus thought it was too early. But one does not judge or question. One does not question God concerning time. God made time for man. And he ruled according to his time for man. And it was always the right time, whether you believed it or whether you didn't believe it, and that's the reason Zacharias had that problem with his speech, because God took away his speech for a while. And so there's things here that we need to read and talk about, and there's quite a few of them, but we'll let that go until next week, and then we'll pick it up with this and read these notes to begin with and do that, because it's getting kind of late and I don't want my fire to go out. I have a wood fire at home, and if it gets as cold as they talk like it's going to get, I may have people in my house looking for warmth if the power goes off, because most all the rest of my family has to deal with fire that comes from a heat pump. But mine comes from being pumped out of a big old wood heater with lots of wood in it. And I tell my little dog when I leave, I said, "You keep your house getting warm."
And she don't put a bit of wood heater in there, does she?
No, she just looks at me like, "Are you crazy?" Yeah. Because she's the only one I've got to talk to at home. Except the Lord. So thank you for being with us tonight. And I certainly enjoyed doing it. But I do. Sometimes seem like I'm overwhelmed with stuff, but yet somehow, by the way, I get it done. And the Lord blesses me for it, especially with my age. And I'm one of them old men, too. So God bless you for being with